Welcome, everybody, to Talking About Pigs with SMEC, a podcast where individuals from the Swine Medicine Education Center discuss swine health topics with industry leaders and subject matter experts. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Justin Brown. I'm an assistant professor here at Iowa State University in VDPAM and with the Swine Medicine Education Center. For our new listeners, this podcast is producer-focused. Each episode will focus on a different swine health topic of interest to you, the pork producers, and our topics are generated from producer questions. So we'll review current resources related to those topics, so things like research papers, news articles, updates from meetings and conferences, and do our best to connect them to you, the producer. So today, we are going to discuss with Dr. Dalton Humphrey a project that he's been working on. Some of you may have read about this in the most recent IPPA magazine that came out right before Pork Congress back at the beginning of the year. And so would like to welcome Dr. Humphrey today. So welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Justin. Looking forward to the discussion.
Sweet. So before we dive into talking about the project and what we've been working on, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? Who are you? How'd you get here? Yeah.
Yeah, so I am originally from Michigan. Grew up not in a traditional agricultural background. Like a lot of people in the industry, though, was heavily involved in 4-H and FFA, and so that was kind of what sparked the interest in animal science. That continued on. I went to junior college at Blackhawk College and then finished my bachelor's at Western Illinois.
Okay.
And then during that experience at Western, I had some really good internships in the Carthage system. So that was really my first exposure to commercial swine production and really kind of engaged my interest in nutrition research. And so ultimately led me to Iowa State, where I got my master's and PhD with Dr. Laura Greiner in swine nutrition. Finished my PhD last year, just over a year ago.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So time flies by.
Yeah, it does.
And so have been here on faculty for just over a year as an research assistant professor. So 80% of my time is spent on swine nutrition and production research. Kind of my biggest passion, I would say, is lactating sow nutrition and nutrient requirements. That'll go into some of our discussion today relative to the project that we've been working on together. Yeah. But outside of that, general nutrient requirement research and just trying to better understand how we can feed pigs to be more efficient, healthier, and then more productive for the producer at the end of the day.
Yeah, very good. And happy to have you here and on faculty with us at Iowa State. You're a great addition to the team. And so this project that, frankly, started back when you were in your PhD still as a student.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time. But been a collaborative project we've been working on between animal science and the nutrition group you're with, and then us over here in VDPAM and field services and the teaching hospital, food animal camelid hospital downstairs. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about this collaborative project, what we've been working on, and kind of where we're headed.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, it's been over 2 years in process on this project. And so it's been a really great team we've put together here at the university to get this done. It all started conceptually when I was in my PhD. So I had a really strong interest in understanding amino acid requirements in sows and just how we can feed them better from that perspective. Was focused on branched chain amino acids at the time, but also just generally, right? Because I think they're understanding requirements from a nutritional perspective is probably one of the most important things, in my opinion, we can do as a nutritionist.
Sure.
Just to give them what they need, right, to produce milk and be productive. And so during that process, I did probably what we'd call a little bit more of a traditionally kind of applied requirement type of research, fed sows different levels of those amino acids to try to figure out where maybe optimum levels were for piglet growth, sow body weight loss, condition, et cetera. And didn't really find a lot in that research, which isn't a bad thing, right? If you don't find an answer in research, doesn't mean it's bad. But when in that process, quickly realized that if you go into a lot of the previous research that's been done, especially with these amino acids, there's just a ton of variability on what we think is the right level to feed sows.
Sure.
And so that gets frustrating, right? You look in the scientific literature, and it's like, well, there's a huge range here. And so trying to figure out how we can maybe approach it a little differently to try to get a little more of a refined answer. And so unlike maybe growing pigs, requirements are less straightforward in sows because there's just a lot more going on in lactation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Metabolically, that makes it a lot more challenging to really pinpoint, and there's a lot more variation when we're trying to do that, right? A sow may be eating weight, different amounts of feed than another sow next to her. She may be losing weight. She could be gaining weight. Could have different number of pigs, size of pigs, et cetera. All that contribute to what she needs to support herself and the piglets. And so I kind of thought, okay, maybe we need to get a little more basic from a science perspective and get a little more mechanistic in the way we're looking at this to try to really kind of dive down into the details. And maybe that'll help us a little bit.
Yeah.
And so lactation, obviously milk is the most probably metabolically demanding from a nutrient perspective aspect. And so trying to understand what requirements are for milk production specifically seemed like a pretty good place to start.
Sure.
And so I had read some papers in grad school and trying to understand techniques that can be used to try to estimate different requirements relative to milk production and how the mammary gland is using nutrients. And that kind of led down the path of looking at nutrient uptake and then utilization by the mammary gland. And so that's kind of the overarching kind of technique that we're trying to use in this project to get that done. And so that involved things that were obviously not in my wheelhouse, but thankfully I have really good collaborators here at the university that we could lean on. Technically what that looked like is we had to place long-term catheters into sows. So we needed an arterial source of blood and then a venous source of blood to the mammary gland. And so arterial blood carries nutrients to tissue.
Yep.
And then arterial blood carries nutrients that are not used by the tissue away. And so if we can measure then arterial blood levels of, in this case, amino acids, and measure venous levels of the same amino acids at the mammary gland, that difference between those levels with an estimate of blood flow will tell us how much on a grams per day or what quantity of those amino acids the mammary gland is taking up.
Sure, what it's using. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so what it's using, and then if we can then get an estimate of milk yield, in this case for this project, we're using piglet growth rate and some published equations as a proxy of directly measuring milk yield. Unfortunately, sows aren't like dairy cows. We don't just get to hook a milker to them and figure out how much.
Not that easy,
not
unfortunately.
Not as simple, unfortunately. So we use an estimate of that, and then we take a milk sample, though, and measure the amino acid composition of that milk. And so then based on all of those different sources that we've measured, arterial blood, venous blood, that gives us uptake. Milk yield and milk concentration gives us output. And so we then have an estimate of how much the mammary gland is using to put directly into milk versus how much the gland itself is metabolizing in some way, using for its own tissue, et cetera. And so we hope that by getting a better understanding of that from a kind of a mechanistic level, we can then start getting a better idea of kind of dynamically what that sow needs in lactation. This was really kind of the start of the whole thing. And so I think almost the whole 2-year process was figuring out the catheterization technique.
Absolutely.
To get it done.
Yep.
And so that was a process in itself. But we hope this kind of spearheads then to more research to continue to refine those numbers. And so this project from a nutritional perspective focused on amino acids, but we hope that will continue on to more questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a really interesting project, right? And you said, the 2 years to really figure out the catheterization part was where me and the SMEC team and VD Pam in the hospital played a bigger role. We learned a lot through that process, right?
We did learn a lot.
So we'll be here in the future releasing a technique paper over that, so we can cover it in more detail at that point. But it was a lot more challenging, I think, than most of us expected, right?
It was, and I'm not going to say trial and error, but we learned a lot of refinement in the process, right? Of what worked better than not. And
yep.
Some things that definitely didn't work at all, right? And
yep.
So that was part of the learning process. And so those things that didn't work, I guess, told us just as much as the things that did work.
Absolutely, right? It's like you mentioned earlier, it's like unexpected research results. They're still results, right? And we can learn stuff from them.
Exactly.
It's been good, and excited about that technique paper we're going to put out. And ultimately, we got to where we needed to be.
We did, yeah. So we did end up getting that technique, we feel, to the point where we can confidently do that. Yeah, it took a while. I'm excited about the technique paper. We're obviously not the first researchers to use the technique. And, Dr. Trottier, at her time at Michigan State, was kind of the pioneer in my mind in that. And then some individuals in Europe as well. But I'm excited, hopefully, to get a technique paper published that if there's other researchers that are kind of interested in the area, can hopefully then incorporate that in research, because I do think it's a really valuable technique. From a physiology standpoint, there's application obviously in vet med with pharmacokinetics, and then obviously my interest in nutritional physiology. But
So like we said, we got it done, we got it to the point, we've done a couple of trials now with the catheterization and collecting those samples. So anything you can share about the results at this point? Right? Or kind of still up in the air, I know, for some of it.
We're pretty up in the air right now. Because of the nature of the study, right? A lot of it is analyzing those blood samples for the content. And so thankfully at Iowa State, aside from an awesome vet med team here, we do have, a really good metabolomics lab. And so I've been working with them real closely on getting those samples analyzed. So they are at the metabolomics lab currently. And so soon, we hope that we'll have some results to share. And I guess can speak a little bit about what some of those questions are that we're hoping to get with those results. And so we have the amino acid component. And so we had two diets in this trial. We had from a real basic standpoint, they were just really extreme and different crude protein levels. So we had a high one and a really low one. We kept all the essential amino acids the same in both, and so it's really just a non-essential amino acid or crude protein that changed. And so we're hoping that will kind of cause some relatively drastic differences in amino acid metabolism. So
by doing that big swing.
Trying to get a big enough difference that we were pretty confident we'd see something. One, to give us validation that our technique and everything was working well. And two, because I think it's a good place to start and then refine from there. So we're going to get those amino acid measurements, and those are good and will be exciting, hopefully, and let us kind of model some of that amino acid utilization. But while we were here with the project, we thought, well, we have the samples, let's measure as much as we can. And so some of the metabolites we'll measure aren't as directly related to what we'd expect from the diets, but are going to be useful because there's just not a lot of information on them. So we're going to measure all the fatty acids in milk and in blood. So look at individual fatty acids. We'll look at glucose. We'll look at ketone bodies, urea. And then eventually the goal is we'll use these samples and do non-targeted metabolomics and basically quantify everything that we can. A little less accurate relative to the ones that we're really interested in, but hopefully we'll give us some interesting data. And then uniquely, hopefully some preliminary data to lead down the road into an area of research that I would like to pursue a little bit harder, was that we sampled these sows at five different times. And so we placed the catheters during gestation, about 90 days is what we ended up landing on for those. And then we sampled 10 days before we expected them to farrow, 3 days before they farrowed, 3 days after, 10 days after, and then 17 days after. And so those pre-farrowing samples are right around the time where we'd consider the transition period in sows. So that's an area that I think is a big gap right now in research and how we can potentially feed that sow a little more appropriately to prepare her during that transition period. If we look at, for example, sow mortality, I did an analysis a while back on a lot of mortality records from a system. And based on that system, at least, and the data I had, and it was 10 years worth of data, if I'm correct, about 64% of sow mortalities were occurring in that transition period. And it was over a million sow records, and so it was a big data set. So we can confidently say...
You had the power,
Confidently say that's a problem area, right? And so from a nutritionist standpoint, that's also a stressful time metabolically, and so... Hopefully this will give us some also information in that period, because sows in gestation in this trial were all fed the same diet during that time. They weren't on the two treatments, and so we have a lot of power to look at what's going on just from a exploratory standpoint, and so we'll get that data as well. So looking forward to that. And then last kind of big ticket question that we had in this, in the lactation piece at least, is we're comparing whole blood versus plasma measurements of amino acids. And so typically when we do these types of studies, these arterial venous different studies, we look at plasma levels and we work under the assumption that transfer of amino acids, for example, is almost entirely in plasma and that red blood cells don't participate in that process. And so we kind of exclude that. We do a correction for volume, but that's about it. And so there's some really interesting data. There's a dairy cow paper, there's some human literature, and then a horse paper, interestingly enough, that shows that there's some evidence that maybe red blood cells are participating in amino acid transport.
Okay.
And so I'm going to look at that a little bit. I'm pretty excited about that one. That's more of a physiological question than a nutritional question. But if it does seem that that's the case, it would for sure affect our current estimates of the needs of that mammary gland, because we may be under or overestimating some of those if we're just using plasma.
So. Yeah, definitely sounds like a question that needs to be answered, right?
And I hope so. I mean, we may not find anything, but it's something that then if we find nothing, that somebody else or I don't have to go back someday and ask that question, right? Because there is data that suggests that that could be the case.
Could be. And like you said, it's more of a physiology question than a nutrition question, which is your area.
But yeah.
It drives home the point of this collaborative research, right? We're all working on similar issues and similar problems. And so figuring things out together and helping move the ball forward, right?
Yeah,
to do what's best for the pig and ultimately for the producer and what they're going
to
do.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, it's been an awesome group to work with. I think we've gotten to learn together.
Yeah.
I think that's how kind of team science, I'll call it, should be. So excited that that is happening. Really good group. We've learned a lot together. And I know we've answered a couple side questions on the vet side as well.
We definitely have. And learned a little bit about pig anatomy too along the way, right?
We did.
Not every pig reads the book.
So a little variation in some places there.
Yeah, it's been good. And so for the listeners, unfortunately today, not a lot in terms of results and take home points, right? But what that means for us is hopefully in a few months have you back and we can share a little bit more, right?
Yes. I think looking forward to those results. I'd be excited to come back to talk with everyone about them. I think hopefully we'll have a lot to share.
Yeah, I think we will, and I think producers will be interested in hearing that, and your swine nutrition colleagues that are out in the field formulating diets every day for all their pigs within their companies, right? I think this research could make a big impact for them and for the industry.
Yeah, I think especially when we think about kind of in today's systems where we see a lot more of the kind of electronic sow feed systems coming into even gestation and lactation, I think this type of research will allow us to continue to look at requirements from a more of a dynamic standpoint as we get as an industry more the capability to maybe blend diets or have multiple feed lines and parity segregate feed, et cetera. I think that's going to become more of an opportunity for the producer. And so being able to have some of this type of data to kind of refine those estimates will be really important then, right? Because precision feeding, super exciting, super important, but you got to be right.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yep. Got to have it formulated correctly and get them what they need.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly. So.
Very good. Well, yeah, exciting work you're doing. Thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit about it today. So.
Absolutely. Thanks for all you do and the team. It's been a great 2-year effort to get this going, and hopefully we'll do more in the future.
Yeah, and excited to do more. It's going to be a good time. So, and looking forward to getting that techniques paper out and then, again, getting more of these results and figuring out exactly what's going on and how we can best help the sows through that transition phase like you were chatting about.
Absolutely.
So again, thanks for joining us today, Dr. Humphrey. For the listeners, all discussed resources and summaries, we'll put those in the podcast notes. If you've got any questions about what we discussed today, we'd be happy to entertain any questions. You can just shoot us an email at isusmec@iastate.edu, and that's isusmec@iastate.edu. Also, if you have a topic that you would like us to discuss on the podcast, shoot that over to us too. Just make sure you put talking about pigs in the subject line of your email. Give us your topic and we can follow up with you and get that put into the list of topics for the podcast. Also, please share this episode with your friends and colleagues, and watch out for our next episode where we will discuss other current swine health topics. Have a great day and a great week, and thanks, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. Special thank you to Iowa Pork Producers Association for their sponsorship of this podcast. Just a reminder that all the topics that we discuss in the podcast were brought to us from producers who are members of Iowa Pork Producers Association. We hope that these topics are useful for all pork producers in Iowa and across the U.S. alike. Thanks again for tuning in.